This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, chapter 21. The final chapter of the book of Shofetim describes the consequences of the civil war with the tribe of Binyamin. The allied tribes had decimated Binyamin, leaving only 600 male survivors. The nation gathers together at Mitzpah and takes a solemn oath that no one should give his daughter in marriage to a member of the tribe of Binyamin. Seemingly, this oath was taken before they went out to battle. Shortly after making this vow, though, the Jews regret this choice because it will inevitably lead to the elimination of a tribe of Israel. Unwilling to violate their oath, they need to find a way to provide wives to the surviving people of Binyamin so that the tribe does not die out. Upon reflection, it becomes clear that there was one community in Israel that did not participate in the civil war against Binyamin, and that was the people of Yavesh Gilad. So the decision is made that in retribution for neglecting or refusing to support the war effort, the allied forces, if you will kill all of the men of Yavesh Gilad and take the women of that city to the tribe of Binyamin to become their wives. Yavesh Gilad is attacked and all of its male citizens are slaughtered. 400 women become available now to the people of Binyamin, to the men of Binyamin. So that leaves just 200 of the men of Binyamin without wives. So far we have 400 taken care of. The congregation needs to come up with a solution for the other 200. They recall that each year at Shiloh, there is a festival during which the young women go out and dance in the fields. This is an opportunity for the women to be kidnapped. The vow taken by the Jewish people stipulated that they wouldn't give their daughters to the tribe of Binyamin for marriage, but nobody ever said that the members of the tribe of Binyamin could not go grab women that they deemed fit for marriage. And so basically they advise the other Shivatim, the other tribes advise the men of Binyamin to hide out in the bushes and jump, and when they see the girls come to dance in Shiloh, to come out from behind the bushes and to grab the ones that they would like to have as wives. If the family of the girl protested against this extreme measure, they would be begged to have compassion on the remnant of Binyamin and to understand that they were condemned to disappear from the midst of Israel if they did not undertake this unconventional way of making shiduchim, of setting up marriages. The tribe of Binyamin follows through on this strategy and now has a seemingly secure future for itself. The book of Shofetim concludes by once again, for the fourth time, remarking that during this period, there was no king in Israel. Each man did what was right in his eyes. Now this narrative, like the story of Pilegesh Begiv'ah, is full of irony and tragedy. Lack of foresight leads the nation to take a vow with disastrous and pretty obvious consequences, reminiscent of the vow of Yiftach that symbolized a misguided religious fervor that was untempered by reason and not taken after proper deliberation. Considering that as a communal oath it must have been formulated by the leaders of the congregation, we can infer that whoever was guiding the Jewish people politically and spiritually at this time was doing a poor job, to say the least. Rather than devise a creative way to release themselves from their vow, they are fully committed to carrying through with it, and this propels them to further bloodshed. They massacre the citizens of Yavesh Gilad, who, as far as we know, had committed no actual trespass that made them worthy of the death penalty. They merely failed to show up for the battle. Finding even this outcome insufficient for the needs of the tribe of Binyamin, upon whom they had imposed sanctions, they advised kidnapping young girls as the solution to the problem. As horrific a suggestion as this is, one kind of wishes they had thought of it before massacring an entire city of people. Ironically, in their zeal to demonstrate how much they rejected the values and mores of Binyamin, and how abhorrent the events at Giv'ah were in their eyes, and as much as they wanted to isolate the offending tribe by refusing to intermarry with them, essentially the nation of Israel winds up justifying mass murder and, for all intents and purposes, recommending kidnapping and rape. These are the same crimes for which they were condemning the tribe of Binyamin to begin with. So ironically, the Jewish people wind up looking not that much different than the people of Binyamin. They are involved in forcibly taking women and they're involved in taking the lives of innocent people in a way that seems capricious, to say the least. The book of Shofatim ends with a clear message to the reader as to the underlying cause for all of this confusion of values and priorities. Namely, there was no king in Israel. There was no central authority to provide Torah-based religious and political guidance to the people so that these tragedies would be, at worst, mitigated or lessened, and at best, completely avoided. The disorder and disarray that reigned in the land at this time left so much destruction and despair in its wake, and leaves those of us, the students of the Book of Shofatim, with a profound sense of the important role that strong and determined leadership with a clear sense of values and a clear vision of Judaism is meant to play in the spiritual and material success of the Jewish people. In this way, it is the perfect prelude to the Book of Shemuel, which describes the appointment of the first kings of Israel, the final establishment of a monarchy that will provide stable and principled leadership for the Jewish people on a national level. The Book of Shofatim illustrates to us that while there are limitations with the concept of kingship and the concept of monarchy, the alternative, chaos, disorganization, and internal conflict, is certainly a far worse option than accepting the limited and imperfect system of a national government that will at least prevent the kinds of widespread tragedy and disintegration of Jewish society that we observe at the end of the book of Shofatim.